please. Luke chapter 4, we're going to start there. And then find the book of 2 Corinthians. And then when you find 2 Corinthians, put a place mark there. Luke chapter 4, then find 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And then find 1 Peter chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible with you, I encourage you to take the Bible that's in front of you in the pew and follow along with the Word of God. This is not my words being spoken this morning. This is God's words being spoken. And I believe that all of you are educated enough and intelligent enough to read the Word of God. Luke chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and 1 Peter chapter 3. Those are the three texts we'll be looking at this morning. Luke chapter number 4, probably my favorite passage concerning why Christ came. Luke chapter number 4, verse number 16. I've covered this several times, not only on Sunday mornings, but on Wednesday nights, speaking about Jesus Christ. And he, Jesus, he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. So he went back to his hometown, went back to his gathering of Jews, and he did what he always did every Sabbath day. He went and gathered together to worship God. And on this day, he stood up to read the Word of God. What should make a difference in our lives is the Word of God, not what somebody says. It ought to make a difference when God's Word is read and spoken and heard. It ought to change our lives. I've told you over and over and over and over and over and over, and I'll continue to tell you. If I say anything that is contrary to what this says, I am wrong. I don't care what doctor, I don't care what pastor, I don't care what professor, I don't care what teacher, I don't care what neighbor. If they teach anything contrary to what this word clearly teaches, they are wrong. Verse 17. And there was delivered to him, brought to him, the book of the prophet Isaiah. That's what that Isaias is in Greek. It's Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. He opened the book up, the scroll, opened up the scroll. And you've got to remember that when this was written in Hebrew, that he opened to Hebrew, that it was not punctuated with periods and place marks like we have in front of us. It was a scroll opened up, and it was just words, and it was read from right to left, not right to left, not left to right. So he opened up the scroll, and he didn't say, well, I'm going to turn to Isaiah, da-da-da-da. He just simply opened it up under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he began to read. Here's what he read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus said, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He was quoting Isaiah, who was writing under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus was quoting himself here. But he's reading the scriptures, and I'm sure that people who were in attendance that day, they were paying attention to him reading, but they weren't hearing what he was reading. I'm sure that there were people there that Sabbath day who were there to be there, just like there is every other Sunday in churches all over this world. But I'm not talking about y'all, I'm talking about those who aren't here this morning. But if we were all fair and admitted, sometimes that's how we are, including myself. We go through the motions. So Jesus stands up and reads these words. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And what has He taught me to do? What does He want me to do? He's anointed me. There it is, that word anointing, remember? I talked about that a couple weeks ago, that unction. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And that's just not talking about monetarily poor. It's talking about spiritually poor. And you're poor if you don't have Jesus Christ your Savior. That's what He's saying. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to come alongside those who are broken in their marriage, broken in their life, broken in their situations, broken, broken, broken. He says, I have come to heal them physically, but more important, spiritually. He hath sent me to preach deliverance to the captives, those who are bound in sin. Those who are bound in all the different addictions of life. He says, I have come to preach that it can be delivered from those things. They don't have to live that way. That does not have to be their definition of life. They can be delivered from that, he says. And I am here to help them recover their sight. Recovering of sight to the blind. And he's not just talking about physical sight, because he heals physical sight. But he heals, most importantly, spiritual blindness. And to set at liberty them that are abused or bruised. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. It's time, he said. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister. And he sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. As he sat down, they were watching him, because they wanted to see what he was going to do next. And he began to say on them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. He says, I am this God. I am the one that's come to do this. I am the one that's come to make a difference. I am God Almighty myself. I've come to do that. Why did Jesus come? To do that for me and for you. To do it for Linda Hogue. To do it for Don Simons. To do it for Danny Childers. To do it for Joe Beaver. To do it for those who are brokenhearted, who need help, who need hope, who need something. God loves you. He doesn't want you to stay where you are, he says. Jesus doesn't hate you. I don't hate you. Nobody hates you other than Satan himself. He says, I've come to deliver them. See, he knows our need. He knows the situation that we're dealing with. He knows the sin that's so prevalent in our lives. He knows the sin that's taking place in this community. He knows the sin in this world. He knows everything that's taking place. And he says, I've come to give you a way of salvation from it. We claim that Jesus Christ is our Savior. We claim to be healed. But has it really changed us? Sunday morning is not about coming and checking a block. God, I'll give you an hour, but after 12 o'clock, if that preacher keeps preaching, I'm checking out. But only 1 hour, God. Otherwise, I'll do what I want to do, but I'll come on Sunday morning, and that's it.
That's why we are where we are. It's not about what takes place in here. It's about who we are out there. We've allowed the world system to take the place of Jesus Christ. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 with real quick. Second Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 11. Paul says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. Now the word terror means the wrath, the holiness of God. That God's a holy God. There's judgment against those who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. It's there. It doesn't have to. It doesn't have to be on somebody. They trust Jesus Christ, their Savior, and they're not condemned. They have hope. That's why He came. For we know that. So because of that, we persuade men, not just males, talking about people. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. He says, "Listen, we exist to tell people of the hope in Jesus Christ. That's why we exist." So if we didn't exist for that reason, then why are we still here? Why, when Jesus saved your soul, why'd you stay on earth? Why didn't you just go ahead and get raptured up and taken out of here? Because we are to deliver the hope of Jesus Christ to this world. That includes those who believe the nasty and the wickedness of life. To the drug addicts, to the alcoholics, to the fornicators, to the liars, the cheats and the steals. Which we were. 12. For we command not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them that glory in appearance and not in heart. He says, listen, living the truth. For whether we beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Brothers and sisters, we don't live for ourselves, we live for others. Enough is enough of us trying to get what we want, how we want it, when we want it, and it's precisely the temperature that we want it. We come in here on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night, if we even bother to come, and we say, this is the type of music that I want, this is where I want to sit, this is as long as I want the lesson to go, this is who I want to say something, and then when this is done, then I'm out of here, and if it's not the way I want it, I ain't never coming back. May I tell you, that's not of God. Come on, folks. Or is it more like, oh me? We want to go to the grocery store and we want to find ourselves a television dinner that we can warm up that appeals to us. And then when we're done eating it, we can go rub our bellies and take a nap and go get another. That's not what God wants. Now I'm telling you why things are going on the way they're going. Verse number 16. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. If you are in Christ, you should be different than you used to be. Isn't that what it says? are you? The world needs to see a difference. Those who oppose themselves, as it says, and by the way, if you wonder where it talks about homosexuality and it talks about adultery and it talks about bestiality and it talks about all those things that are taking place in our society, you say, Brother Brian, where does it talk about that? Romans chapter number 1. I encourage you to read that chapter. All those who oppose themselves are looking for somebody to be real, somebody who is genuinely a believer in Christ, somebody who stumbles and falls but gets back up and follows the Lord the best they can, somebody who is living for God. That's what we need to do. Don't come in here praising God and out there cussing like a sailor. Don't come in here on a Sunday morning with your nice suit on and your nice dress on, reading the Word of God, and you're out here living like hell itself. Stop it. They need us to be who we are genuinely. I'm not saying without mistake, without error. We all got problems. How many of you got problems? Well, see, you're not raising your hands, so it means you got a problem with judgmental and pride. I got a problem with pride. How many of you are lazy? How many of you lie? See, you're all lying right now. See, the problem is thinking that we have to be perfect. Absolutely not. We serve a perfect God who's just calling us to live for Him. That's why we are where we are, because we're not living for Him. We're capitulating. We're giving in. Well, I don't want to lose my friendship, and I don't want to lose my job, and I don't want to lose this, and I don't want to lose that, so I'm just going to give in to the ways of the world. I'm going to give in to what they say, so that way I don't rock the boat and I don't make anybody upset. So I'm just going to kind of sit over here and just be a little milquetoast Christian, and I'm not... No! See, that's why when Jesus stood up and read that scripture that day, He was in His hometown. And He was calling Himself God Almighty. And you know what they tried to do to Him after He read that? They tried to throw Him off a hill. That very day. Go to 2 Peter or 1 Peter real quick. So here's some direction for us. I've identified why we are where we are. I've told you what is taking place in our world. And if you don't understand what's taking place in our world, and you don't see what's taking place in our government, and you don't... And by the way, they're getting ready to pass a law that equals... same-sex marriage makes it equal with heterosexual marriage. Makes it equal... Saying that same-sex couples can have the same rights and privileges as heterosexual marriages can. That's wrong. Verse number 8. Finally, Paul or Peter writes, "Be ye all of one mind." What is that one mind? That they agree on the color of the carpet. That they all cheer for the same sports team. What is the one mind? Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's what the one mind is. Be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful. Not pitiful as, oh, woe is me. But being understanding that, hey, listen, it's humble. Be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise instead, blessing. Knowing that you are there to call, that you should inherit a blessing. We got something better waiting for us. How many of you have ever been abused? Just a few of you. Well, praise God. How many of you have been used? How many of you have been slandered? How many of you have been knocked down and nobody wanted to pick you up, but they continued to kick you while you were down? How many of you wanted to get back up and do it back to them? He says, don't do that. We are being slandered. And I'm promising you, write this down. When we take a stand against same-sex marriages, we take a stand against abuse in the home of the wife or the husband, we take a stand against child abuse, we take a stand against drunkenness, we take a stand against drug abuse, we take a stand against homelessness, we take a stand against sexism, we take a stand against those things. Lying and cheating and stealing and gossiping. We take a stand against those things, we're going to have opposition. It's not just LGBTQ stuff. He that will live, or that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips they speak no guile. Let him eschew, avoid, hate evil, and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Why? For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Do not shout and scream and accuse and call names to those who oppose God. Don't do it. Love them, but stand on the truth. I am not for picketing an organization and boycotting an organization because they support the wickedness of this world. I am for loving them and teaching them and telling them the truth, but standing on the truth and not capitulating to ungodliness. I'm not for it. Tuesday night at 6 o'clock, we are meeting here. I've called several pastors, and I've told them to invite people to come at 6 o'clock. We're going to meet here, and we're going to pray. We're going to stand as a body of believers in the county, in the city, whoever shows up, and we're going to ask God to intervene. We're going to ask God to speak to us and to change us and to make us what we need to be, so that we then can be effective for Him. But it doesn't have to start Tuesday. It can start right now. I do not hate drug abusers. I don't hate alcoholics. I don't hate liars and thieves and cheats. I don't hate adulterers. I don't hate those who have sex outside of marriage. I don't hate gossipers. I don't hate sinners. I want them to come to know the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ, just as like I found when I was 21 years old. I ain't perfect. My English ain't perfect. And I want to be closer to the Lord. I want to bring Him honor and glory with my life every single day. But when wrong is wrong, we need to stand up against wrong. We need to continue feeding the poor. We need to continue helping those who can't help themselves. We need to continue to minister to those who have pornography addictions. If you have a pornography addiction, we want to walk with you and help you with that. We have people in this church that will walk with you, that are teaching, that will help you through this. You don't have to live in it. We have people here who are helping marriages who are encountering adultery. We will walk with you in that. If you have an addiction to alcohol, an addiction to drug, we will help you. We want to walk with you. We want to show you. You don't have to do it alone. That's not what God intended. And if you have a problem with homosexuality and you are in this room, God loves you. If you're listening via the internet, we don't hate you, we love you. But we want to show you the truth of what God says. But before we can tell the truth of what God says, we have to live the truth of what God says. Amen. So I want to ask you, do you care what God says? If you care what God says, and God has changed you, like He says, how about living for Him out there? In your homes, in your schools, in your places of work. You don't have to take your Bible and smack them. It might help. I'm just teasing. No, don't do, JT, don't do that, please. But you can love them and show them the truth by being genuine. I didn't get saved by somebody screaming and hollering and arguing with me. I trusted Christ because I knew somebody who genuinely loved Christ and showed me the truth. Whose job is that? It's me and Tanner's job. We get paid to do that. Now, whose job is that? Point to whose job that is. That's why I love that song. We've been called to follow Jesus. We've been called. Let's stand together. Miss Shirley, I'm going to have Alan come and play that song again. Just don't sing it, Alan. Just come and play it. I'm going to have Alan just play the song that he just sang just a minute ago. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I want you to just respond as the Holy Spirit tells you to respond. If He tells you to come, come. You need to be saved. You need someone to pray with you. You want to join the church. Whatever God's telling you to do, I invite you to come this morning. You want to bring someone and pray with them, come home. But just respond to the Holy Spirit. Just play through that a couple times, Brother Allen, if you wouldn't mind this morning. Heads bowed, eyes closed. You just do what God's telling you.